Nat Metcalf here. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk, leading the way for netball and women's sport. Flyhawk design and make netball dresses, have netball kit, netball teamwear, and netballs, plus much, much more. Head to flyhawk.com now.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's a Netball Show with Flyhawk. Australia take the Nations Cup for 2024. Let's get Tamsin's thoughts on those games that took place in Leeds.
Okay, back at the hotel after another incredible day of netball at the Nations Cup. First up was Australia-Uganda, the first time these two sides have ever met. No surprises, the world number one came out on top, 63-49. But what was really impressive was the homework and tactical play by Stacey Marinkovic. It's the first time, I think, in this competition that we've seen the Uganda attack end really shut down, and the service to Mary Chollock stopped. Didn't have it all their own way though, Australia. I mean, in the second and fourth, Uganda had the opportunity to take those quarters, couldn't quite get over the line, but loads of lessons learned. So let's talk about the next game then, the big one, England versus New Zealand. Of course, the winners were going through to play Australia in the final. And after last weekend, all your money was on England, right? They were playing fearless netball, nearly beat the Aussies. No Maddie Gordon in the Silver Fern squad today. The crowd on side. After the first few minutes, looked done and dusted. In the last quarter, they got 6-goal lead. But the Ferns played with so much grit and determination today. They had two huge turnovers in their last quarter, which allowed them to almost go level with about 20 seconds to go. Ball in hand, going to Grace Nwaeke, who steps up. Thank you, Fumi Fidoju. A huge intercept. And what was so important about that is that last weekend, we only saw her get a few minutes against the Aussies at wing defence, and it wasn't enough to impact. Today, she had 26 minutes in at goal defence, enough to get two intercepts and one really, really key one. I think what's going to be important over the next few seasons is how England use her in that impact role. Like, how much time does she need out there? What position does she need to come in? More importantly, how are they going to keep her out there for longer periods? How do we build her up to be a 60-minute player? Because she's so, so valuable. So anyway, let's talk about five probably key points of the day. We'll start with Australia and their defensive unit. Sarah Clough got the nod in at goalkeeper on her 50th cap. I'm going to throw this out there. I think Sarah Clough technically is the best goalkeeper in the world. If you just watch her footwork, in particular on the back and up, it is absolutely faultless. I mean, she got two intercepts today off Mary Chollock, but more importantly, she kept Mary to just 30 goals. Bearing in mind, Mary last week had 91 attempts across two games, and she kept just 30 goals today. Got two intercepts off her as well. It's probably to do with the work rate in front. Your Courtney Bruce, your Sunday Ariang, your Jamie Lee Price. You rewatch the game, just look how quickly they got around in front position and stayed in front. You don't often see Aussies track on one-on-one play in front position, but they did it today. It was relentless, it was ruthless, and it worked. So second talking point then, is there room in the Aussie squad for a holding shooter? Last week, we saw Garvin and Conan tear up the court in shooter. I mean, they come out of the circle so early, outrageously early, in all positions, at the top to the baseline, kept the attacking Australian lineup free-flowing, really open. No one knew how to shut them down. Today, they brought Wollum into the squad. And bearing in mind, I'm a huge Danelle Wollum fan. She was brought into the squad, put into the seven, and put out in court. She had 31 out of 33, so you can't touch that. I think the problem was it changed everything that happened out in front of her. So Kiara Austin game, we know she loves the baseline. She wasn't able to do that because Danelle is a target. She's in the way, so she was having to enter through the top. It's just not her strength. I'm just not sure she's quick enough at the moment to do that. And then Liz Watson and Jamie Lee Price had very little room to come through and cut and drive. Where it was noticeable is in the third quarter when Aussie made their changes. They won it 19-11. Garbin entered the game. She had 15 attempts. 15 attempts in 15 minutes. Bearing in mind, Wollum had 33 and 45. Tells a bit of a story. It was helped hugely by what happened in front of the well. Kate Maloney had 26 feeds in 30 minutes. She really opened up the game. And what I love was her connection with Paige Hadley. They were high-fiving, bum-tapping. Being close to the court, you could see how much chat they were giving into the circle as well. She was brilliant today. And I think what's interesting to note is Paige Hadley has now come on twice and taken Liz Watson's bib twice in a week. I think that long-term is going to be, yeah, something to watch out for the Diamonds fans. Anyway, Talking point number three then, Uganda. They've been brilliant, haven't they, through this series? I mean, we've all been seriously impressed by just their ability to just have no fear playing against the top teams. Bearing in mind, this is their first opportunity at times. I think what's noticeable for the first time today is structurally how they fell apart. When you're playing against an Aussie side, everything matters. So your centre pass setup, where you set up for first, second phase, that variety, where the exits come from. They only had 60% of their centre pass to goal today, and that was costly. Australia had 79%, so you can see the gaps and where they need to get to. But I think what's frightening for every other nation is this is Uganda playing with their first opportunity. You imagine in another season, in another two seasons, when they've had opportunity to tactically work out how they're going to break down some teams, how they use their possession wisely. They had 57% of the possession today. Imagine what that's going to look like another year on. I mean, I've become a big fan of this side, and I'm so pleased to see they didn't shy away again from the challenge today. So where does that leave us next? Well, New Zealand had to also make some changes today, and that was in the defensive end. They haven't been winning enough ball. Karaka got the start at goal defence, and it didn't disappoint. Her partnership with Jury, they ended up with six gains. It wasn't enough to shut down Elle Carwell and Helen Housby, but it was enough to get them ball, to give opportunity to Grace Nwoeke. Nwoeke was on 47 out of 50, so this links me in to my next point, Whitney Souness, and the long-term partnership she's building with Grace. She had 24 feeds today. When you look at her footwork and how she offset people on the two-on-one and the centre pass, when you look at her vision when she turns with no one in front of her and a drive to the pockets, she's unstoppable. However, at the moment, she's costly on the ball. She had five turnovers today in her game, and that's why she ended up coming off the court before re-entering. The problem is when she's making them. So there were momentum killers in the third quarter, and they came in close succession, two massive ones, and they were technical as well. One where she was on foot, she was looking at Grace, she looked away, she came back, couldn't deliver the ball. If she can start to nail that and do some of the basics consistently well, grind out some of the boring, dull stuff that you kind of have to sadly do at times, she will become unstoppable. And people are going to have to work out how they've shut down that connection between her and Grace. Anyway, from one attack, wing attack to another, Nat Metcalf. Let's talk about England. Oh, she was back to her best, back to her very best. It was so exciting to watch. 44 feeds. Bearing in mind, Whitney only put in 24. 20 centre pass receives. More importantly, only two turnovers in the whole game. What I love about Nat, she doesn't need the captain's armband to be a leader. Just watch that game again. She was pointing, she was dictating, she was recycling ball and coming back up to it. Tactically, absolutely nailed Jess Thirlby's plan. And I thought Thirlby's tactics was spot on today. The way they opened up the widths. Look at the third quarter. They were playing ball. It was outrageous. That had no right to land against the New Zealand zone. But they used the backup, the middle and the wide so effectively well. New Zealand weren't sure what ball to come on. What was most impressive is how calm they were through the game. Helen Housby shot 100% in the first half, which was much needed. But that attacking then, just getting to the point where they almost don't know how to lose.
Hiya, it's Fran Williams here.
So back home from Leeds after the Nations Cup final, it's fair to say, wasn't a great day to be an England supporter, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's start with the third, fourth playoff then, New Zealand versus Uganda. And it was a little bit like deja vu. Kiwis took the first quarter, Uganda the second, level pegging at halftime. And arguably it took the Ferns to put their strongest lineup on with the players available. Remember, no Maddie Gordon, no Kate Heffernan, huge losses, both out nursing niggles. But the lineup and the changes they made at halftime allowed them to win a little bit more ball. And I say a little bit. They won that second half by five, won the game 62-57, and it was just a lesson in how these two sides match up against each other. So attacking dominant. Grace Nwoeke, 50 goals down one end. Mary Chollock with 45 goals down the other end. Both sides are going to have to learn how to win more ball off each other. Kate Heffernan even spoke about their zone, playing higher, getting around in front, challenging more. Just didn't do it consistently well. And Uganda almost enjoyed playing against this own style of defence. It gave them more time to see the gaps, take on the drives, and of course, open up Mary under the post. Even though they didn't get the win, I think Uganda will come away happy from this game. I mean, they've been so impressive across the week. Individual performances, they've learned game by game. They're only going to get better, and they've created a whole new fan base for themselves, a welcome addition to the Nations Cup, and I've been so happy to watch them play live. So let's talk about the final then. I think we had such high hopes after the result last weekend. England have played so well, have been on top so often in that Aussie game, only losing by two and playing some of the most exciting netball I've ever seen. Fast forward a week, just had the worst result against the Aussies since 2016, a 20-goal loss, 69-49. Don't take anything away from the Aussies. They were classy today. Stacey Marinkovic, her lineup, her tactics, her changes, formidable as always. And they were ruthless. They won every single quarter, totally dominated us in all areas. But I think the interesting thing for England, and something they're going to have to take note of, is last week they played up here the whole game. I mean, ball was landing for fun, outrageous feeds going into the circle and into that end third. People taking ball on the run, almost going out of court. And as a fan, we loved it. It was so exciting to watch. But they played at this level and still didn't get over the line. And what was interesting today is that they weren't at that level at all, but they couldn't consistently manage it below. And I'm talking consistency on centre pass to goal, on turnover to goal, on the feeding position and what kind of ball they're putting into the circle, the amount of ball they're winning and sticking to task. They just didn't do that. And it's a massive lesson for all teams, and one you want to work out why the Aussies are so good. Consistently, they always sit here, always. And then they'll have moments where they jump up, where they play with that exciting flair. And it might be an individual, it might be just a passage of play, might be a few minutes, but then they come back down to this level and they carry on doing that. England need to look at how they can do that, because if they want to play up here, they need to nail this position first. Anyway, let's get into some of the big talking points of the day then. I'm going to start with Uganda and start with Kadondi. She was incredible. Play goal defence for 60 minutes. She actually had the best stats of any defender on the court. Two gains, one intercept. What was really interesting is how she managed the game. So she was up against Malasala, who had been asked to get into the circle more, to cut and drive, for the players to get the ball down to the edge and use more. She was shooting 9 from 10 at half time. In the second half, she only had 2 from 2. Ended up getting replaced in the end by Georgia Heffernan. That was down to the work rate of Kadondi. And there's a huge intercept in that fourth quarter where she comes running through the court, takes the ball off Malasala. And it was not just out in the court she did the grind down. In the circle, her smother of the ball, her switching with Mohamed, her step and drop to go on the other shooter. It was really impressive. Don't be surprised if she pops up in one of our leagues in the near future. So let's move on to New Zealand then. It's really interesting. Kadoko was quite frustrated at halftime. She sort of alluded, and I can't really say what she said because it wasn't PG, but she sort of alluded to the attacker not really doing their job. Now, they had the lowest error rate of the day. So they made 10 general play turnovers. Australia 11, Uganda 13, England 19. It just kind of shows you how faultless they were in attack. That's 2 to 3 errors a quarter. That is nothing. That is clinical netball. And they're getting so much better retaining ball, offloading to Nweke, using the goal attack. I was so impressed with some of their attack in play today. The frustration comes from, yeah, the wing attacks made 5 of those 10 errors. But we know that will come. We know Whitney and Mila will get better on the ball with the more experience and exposure. I think what's frightening for everyone else, they can keep their 10 errors and get Grace with 50 goals. Imagine when they start winning some ball. Just imagine what that's going to look like. So I think they can be proud with some of the efforts and some of the gains they made this week. They've been unlucky with some of the injuries. But tactically, what Nolene was doing again to try and change and adapt them was brilliant. Weren't in the final, still challenged teams when they needed to, had that great game against England, and still so much to come from them. So let's get back into the main game then. First of all, I'm going to talk about Liz Watson, her 84th capped, one of the most experienced diamonds and one of the most capped Aussie diamonds ever. Why was that so important? Well, I think England massively helped her out today with playing Fumi at wing defence. And you know I love Fumi. I'm a massive fan. This isn't against Fumi. It's more about the fact that she has 25 caps and she was up against one of the best wing attacks in the world. And a wing defence is such a specialist position. To shut down Liz, you have to be relentless on some of the roles that you've got to play. And if you go back and look at that first quarter, Liz Watson almost used Fumi's superpowers against her. So the jumping in the air, she raised her up and went around her, cut and drove to the circle edge. Fumi sagging off allowed Liz Watson and cut and drive and bring Garvin into the game, bring Dwyer into the game. And it really set the tone. And where this was noticeable, In the early rounds, Liz Watson got dragged off against England. She only made 17 feeds in 40 minutes. She only had 6 centre pass receives. The shutdown from Alisson and Carter was so good, she couldn't actually get out. Into this game, 41 feeds and 14 centre pass receives. That kind of tells you the story of how much space she was given. And when you allow someone like Liz to thrive, you're going to be in trouble. Let's talk about the Australian attack, and then we have to stay with the shooters, Sophie Garbin and Sophie Dwyer. What I loved about them today is how they shared the load. We know Garbin's been dominant in and out the circle across this competition. She ended up from 31 from 32, but Dwyer ended up with 22 from 25. It was just amazing. And what was brilliant is in the first quarter, it was the Garbin show. In, out, bodying up, one-on-one, getting every ball that she wanted. In the second quarter, England did a good job of shutting her down. They went back early onto a 2-on-1. Didn't matter. Sophie Dwyer just entered the circle on that front cut drive that she loves. And more importantly, she shot from anywhere. She took on the load in that quarter. She put up 10 goals, Garbin only putting up 8 goals. And I know you're going to give me daggers for this, but the super shot has massively helped the Aussie shooters. Just take a look in that second quarter where Dwyer was happy to shoot from under all kinds of pressure. Didn't faze her whatsoever. Shooting from that range and then having Garbin so disciplined and dominant under the post, it's going to be pretty unstoppable for any defensive unit. So let's finish with looking at England then. The fifth final talking point. I've raved through this competition about their centre pass, first phase, second phase, the connection between Housby and Metcalf. They often start wide, one-on-one off. They are always looking for each other. Today, it was a problem. Heading into this game, they've not gone below 75% of their centre pass to goal. Today, it's at 67%. More importantly, in their worst quarters, quarter two and quarter three, it's at 60%. When you break down what happened, Helen Housby took 18 centre pass receives. Nat Metcalf only took 6 second phase. So that's 12 second phases that didn't connect between each other. So what did that mean? They had to look for other people, and that's just not in their nature. They like to play the ball to each other. It meant El Carwell came out of the circle. It meant we used the backup loads, and it just put us in difficult positions entering into the third. Didn't give us that slick play that we're used to seeing hitting the edge of the circle. Made us play extra balls. And it allowed that feed to be dominated and smothered when we got to the edge because we weren't breaking through free. It is something England are going to have to look at because they rely so heavily on that connection. And it was a problem today. More variety in that. Whether it's the centre, we've seen Imogen Alisson don't so dominant on it. Whether it's the backup play, using it early rather than late. Or whether it is getting Elle or Sasha Glasgow right up to the line using that second phase. But it's something they will need to look at because it was very costly today. So where does that leave us then? Well, 4 days of incredible competition. Uganda, absolutely incredible. Kiwis rebuilding, still dominant. Aussies, absolutely classy. And England, I'm just going to put it down to a bad day in the office. So much talent on display. Don't be disheartened. They'll be back, and I can't wait to see them.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q, and Sky Glass. Select sport, and we're on the podcast rail.